Romans chapter 15. We have a long way to go because I'm trying to. I'm just starting here. Romans 15 verse 4. Can we read it together? Everybody wants to go? For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and the comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Does that make sense? Whatsoever things were written for aforetime. Aforetime, we said, is the word prographo, right? That is before now, which whatsoever things were written aforetime. So he's talking about Genesis to Malachi. And he's saying they are written for our learning. The word didaskalia. D-I-D-A-S-K-A-L-I-A. And that means for our explanation. So you don't have the Bible for quotation. I said that last week. You don't have the Bible so that you can quote it. I remember I was quoting scriptures before I even got born again. And a whole lot of you were already. Some people are even singing. Someone said he had been singing in tongues before he got saved. How come? That one I cannot explain. So scriptures are not for quotation. They are for explanation. To be explained. Last week, we looked at, for example, genealogies, right? Right? Adam begat Seth. Seth begat this. Hashem, Noah, Lamech. We looked at all of that, Rabbi. And we said, why genealogies? Why do you think you have all of that in the Bible? You don't just keep it. What Paul is telling the church in Rome is that there is nothing that is mistaken. There is nothing that is not for explanation. That is, when you see those genealogies, they are there for the taking. They are there for an explanation. That makes sense? And we looked at how Matthew would constructively explain genealogies, what theologians have called a sui generis, an 11th theology. I don't want to go into all of that this morning, but he did some work on it. He did some work on it in the sense that he now took 42 generations, collapsed it into 14, inverted it, started from Abraham. That's some crazy work. You don't want to, what is going on in my head is different from what I'm saying. But that's some serious work he did, bringing in four non-Israelite females, right? The closest of them will be Tamar, daughter of David. You know, and we saw how that he linked the sex scandals that you have with Ruth, that you have with Rahab, that you have with Tamar, that you have with Mary. And he brought them into the genealogy of the Christ intentionally to let you know that God is going to use every nation regardless. And that's it. That in itself is theological. So we said genealogies are also part of the scriptures. I know a lot of people just skip them. And you're just, let me go to where the Bible is talking. Let me just go to where the Bible is talking. No, go. You know, read it. In fact, in those theologies, sometimes, because the way the Jewish name their children is itself an explanation. Right? The name of Moses' sons, Gershom. Gershom means stranger. Why? Because I am a stranger in this land, in this world. And so Moses, naming his son Eliezer, the Lord is my help. Again, reading that in genealogy would help you see something. You would have just skipped that Eliezer. What concern with Eliezer? Eliezer is the Lord is my help. He is the one that saved me from Egypt. So the name itself is theology. I remember we did a teaching one time and we were able to look at Noah, how his name is actually part of his mission. Have you? Out of his preaching. Yeah. So again, they are written for our learning. And that's why I always advise, and I always say this, as long as I have breath in my lungs, that the church is for teaching. The church is not for entertainment. However strict or over serious that may sound, because I heard during the week some folks were saying that I'm probably too serious. I was talking to a pastor friend when Uber, you were there with us, and I was saying, I don't know if I'm the one that is too serious or people are too loose. I don't know which one. I know I cannot underestimate my over-seriousness sometimes, which is beneficial, right? Well, am I the one that's too serious or people are loose? And he messaged me. He said, people are loose. Because I don't know. I was, what was you? I was telling you, someone went on stage and was reading text message from the wife. Pastor, during teaching. I don't know how you can do that, but you can't do that and still teach God's word with sense. You don't have brains. The church is sacred. The teaching is sacred. You know, we have a lot of time to play. Amen? When we get out of this place, we can... Personally, I play games every Sunday. How about that? How about that for someone who is too serious? And I win those games. Amen? Amen. Amen. You lost that last time. You lost last week. You lost 2 games back to back. Just for records. You say, I know when you won. When last did you win? Alright, so, you know, I play games. But you don't see me come here and say, we are doing game Sunday. What? What's game Sunday? What's our soon Sunday? If you want to be a farmer, be a farmer. If you want to be a pastor, you are a pastor. And that's why we have a lot of Christians who cannot even explain Genesis 1-1. Don't think you understand. Don't think it's that simple. You can't even explain John 1-1. John 3:16. I've seen someone fumble it before. Because when you come to church, you don't even spend the 2-3 hours we have in church to learn God's word. You spend it watching drama. You spend it dancing and clapping. Then what time do we have to learn? And so when you now speak about genealogies and all of these things, it appears like you are the one thing over serious. And this is basic. Amen. These are basic truths. These are... We've not even gotten to the dialect of the prophets. We are still doing preambles. We are doing preambles. We are just still, you know, over the surface. We will still look at... When you get to all those Naum, that's when you know you are doing doctrine. There's a reason why they are there. We scratched Micah the last time, right? So again, we ought to take God's word as serious. When I'm in church, I know I'm in church. Come on. Amen. When I'm in church, I know I came to learn. I came to know God's word more. Not that you go on outreach and someone is telling you, I have a question. Just answer my question. Who is the wife of Cain? And you look like, the pastor forgot to mention that one. How can I forget to mention what his Bible did not teach? So why did the Bible not write wife of Cain? That's the asking me. 2022, glorious house church. Amen. What do you want to do with the wife of Cain? Is she the one that knows how to prepare your best food? Or you gave her your kidney? The wife of Cain has no bearing with why the Bible was written. And so you will not find that. Amen. The same way you will not find Goliath in Matthew to Revelation. But the story looks nice. The story looks heroic. But it has no bearing with the spirit of truth. Amen. Can we learn from it? Very well. That reason for our learning. But you must be loud where the Bible is loud. And you must be quiet where the Bible is quiet. And you must say nothing where it says nothing. Is that making sense? That is theology. The moment you are loud where the Bible is quiet, you are a false teacher. You must make the volume, you must look at the volume of theology. And so we started looking at that, and we said, they are written for our learning. They are written for our learning. From Adam to Cain and Abel. You know, there's a doctrine in Cain and Abel, right? Don't forget, Jude will not use Cain, Abby, as doctrine, yeah? Don't follow the way of Cain. The doctrine of Balaam. You go to Jude. Well, that's the open Jude. They are Jude. So, you must have in mind, when I'm coming to church, church is serious work. Church is school. Amen. I didn't say cool. Church is school. Before you say, I like pastor. Pastor is now getting there. Church is cool. Yeah. Cool for learning. Jude 11. If you are going to marry someone and you say, let's study the book of Jude, and you say, what chapter? Go and meet your cell leader and say, I think I want to post something. Amen. Say, let's study the book of Jude. Say, let's study about that. Say, what chapter should you? Chapter what? You know, that one is not, it's not a disciple. Obadiah, that's Obadiah. Jude 11. Woe unto them. Am I right? Is that? Woe unto them who have followed the way of Cain. Who have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. Or Kor, as you see it in the Greek. Again, he's using people as examples of what you should not be. So he said there's a way of Cain. And I've wondered, Cain is just Cain now. No. What is the way of Cain? Unbelief in the gospel. The way of Cain will be bitterness. The way of Cain will be disobedience. The way of Cain will be lies. anger, murder. That is the way of Cain. He said the error of Balaam, greediness or greed. Selfishness. So he's using people and he's using them as an example. So again, you can use it that those characters, those events that we have in the Old Testament, as we call it, can use that they have bearings with theology. Right? Right? So, we started looking at a particular story last week, which I have a lot to say today. Before the story, we looked at what fruitfulness means. We saw that the way Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, what we call the Pentateuch, the way Moses wrote them, we called it in a didactic fashion, right? You remember that? If you're into reading literature and all of that, you know what is called didacticism. Didactic literature is a literature that combines entertainment and lessons. I've given you examples over the years. For example, you have all these tortoise stories, yeah? Japa. Abi? You know all those stories, all those old stories. Yeah, they say the tortoise went to the elephant and the elephant, if you give me 15 naira, I will give you all those stories. You know, the moral of the lesson is not tortoise. The moment you now start looking for tortoise and say, I want to see the tortoise that gave 15 naira, you are done. The moral of the story is, okay, we gave the example of the elephant, right? The elephant was bullying every other animal. There's a story like that. Elephant is the last animal to use for that. They don't relate with any other person. They just work with themselves. They are too big for that. You know? Literally. Alright, so the elephant was bullying every other animal, and so they now realize that the only way they can get the elephant out of the community is that they will make him king. So they went to the elephant and said, we want to make you our king. Then the bully said, so you guys have finally realized my importance. You have finally realized I'm massive. They said, we have realized. That's sorry. It took us long, but we are finally here. Accept us. Be our king. Then he said, tomorrow is the coronation. And the elephant said, at that fast, he said, we need a king very fast. And so they dug a massive hole and spread mats on it, red carpet. And then invited the elephant. The elephant said, he needs escorts. He said, we use other elephants. He said, he needs escorts to walk the red carpet. They said, no, we are not worthy. Let us also watch you and clap for you. Or clap you from afar. And so the elephant started walking majestic. I am the king. And that's how the elephants with the mats and everything entered into that hole and then they covered it up. What is the lesson? Don't bully others, right? Also, not everything that glitter is gold. Abi? The fact that it's red carpet does not mean there's no hole under it. Does that make sense? So, imagine after telling you the story, the man said, what did you learn in this story? And I said, elephant is such a bully. Animals cooperate. No. What kind of lesson is that you are picking? So didacticism is, were you entertained by that story? Huh? Sounds like a typical Hollywood, right? You are entertained and yet there's a lesson. That is didactic literature. And that is the way you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You must not be carried away with the entertainment. For example, you now have the serpent came to the woman. And in your own head, there is a serpent that was actually now walking to the woman. How come now, guy? So who is in the garden? Hey, little serpent. I'm like, guy, can I come and see ya? No! Literally. There was no serpent. The lesson is, the devil came to tempt mankind. Simple. Why are you complicating matters? And you know, that Adam ate his tithe. God said, you must not eat it. Adam ate it. That don't swallow your tithe. Are you now saying that tithe is good and evil? You have not answered that question to today. Following your own narrative of matching characters. So are you saying tithe is the fruit of good and evil? I just need to hear yes or no. Don't explain. But that only happens when you are not thinking with the scriptures, like Paul told the Galatians. Are you foolish? Foolish Galatians. Like Jesus told his disciples, Luke 24:27. Paul's own in Galatians 3, 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Jesus said, fools are slow of heart. So sometimes foolish is not an abuse. It's a description sometimes. See, you're foolish. Can't you see that Jesus will die for sin and he will be raised from the dead? Have you not seen that one in the scriptures? They say, So when you are busy looking at this happens. So, you will find Genesis in that didactic fashion. That didactic fashion. Where there's entertainment and there's a lesson. Where it's talking about the physical and it's also talking about a spiritual narrative. For example, you look at the light of Genesis. God said, let there be light. And out of darkness, there was light. And there was no sun, there was no moon, and you say, where did the light come from? So you must now say, okay, what is this guy writing? I've told you times without number that you cannot prove, listen to this one. It's a lost cause to try to prove the creation of the world with the Bible. You are wasting your time. The Bible was never written so that you can prove the creation of the world. What concerns Moses with creation of the world? He's a prophet who is interested in just one thing. That you believe God. So you think, in believing God, he will not tell you about dinosaurs. And dragons of old. And what are those other animals? Those of you that watch all these movies. All those Land of the Dead movies. All those zombies. I don't know how you guys find fun in doing that. See, that a movie makes me laugh. Don't teach me any lesson. I don't watch movies for lessons. Don't teach me anything. I don't want to learn anything. Don't teach me morals. I've learned enough morals in life. Just make me laugh. Any movie that will scare me, I will not watch it. Can you put horror, caution? People that put caution, you think they don't have reason. They put caution. Say, horror movie. And you say that's what you like. Are you a Christian? Are you a believer? I'm talking to some people directly now. Can you like horror movies? Later, and I say, you saw a vision. 25 eye beasts. What will you see before? Jesus. When you are watching Land of the Dead or whatever it is. Amen. And so Moses started writing. And we start seeing narratives. We saw the seed. The way he used seed in Genesis. He used the seed for who God will send. Genesis 3:15. He said, the seed of the woman will crush the serpent. The seed of the woman will crush the serpent. So we start saying the use of seed in Genesis. And it's amazing because you don't lose that kind of detail. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Because when he now tells you to be fruitful, you have to look at what seed will bring forth fruitfulness. A whole lot of people have thought, be fruitful and multiply will mean go and give birth to more children. Again, we have taught all of this in several hours of teaching, almost a day of teaching. If you are going to put them together, it's more than 24 hours. So I'm just touching what we have said before. Be fruitful and multiply. And what you think Moses is saying is don't do family planning. There was this patient I had some times ago. 3 years ago? Yeah. You know, and my consultant advised family planning for her because of some health conditions, yeah. My consultant alongside, I think hematology, and one of the department, I forgot. I think renal guys too are there. So they shall advise family planning for her. And the next thing she says, God forbid. God forbid what? Say, Bible says be fruitful and multiply. I could not talk because I'm a junior officer. I wanted to say, if I could talk, I'd say, hey, go and do, I give it to 3 dozen, bye. Take me more rent. Am I not going to pay? I don't know what you are thinking that fruitfulness means. And that's what has run into our society, where we now think that someone who is not married and who doesn't have children is not fruitful or is not fulfilling God's plan. Who told you that? Is Jesus himself not single? Yeah, you know, we are looking for Valentine, forceful Valentine dates about. I must go out. Must come to church. There's prayer group. Amen. But there is a teaching meeting. So you have all you need. Amen. The fruitful is that you will take the seed and put in everywhere. Don't forget the seed. The seed is the man of Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image. Last week we were able to look at image and likeness. Abi? Huh? Come on. How many people are there? Come on. You're almost all of you. Come on, let me see your hands. You're around just from there. Let me see your hands very well in the sky. Aha. No, when you say, let us make man in our image and likeness. Sorry, who is your image and likeness? Huh? Your son. The one who has your nature. That's your image and likeness. Let us make man in our image and likeness. And that is the Christ. The image of God. Colossians 1:15. John 1:18. Hebrews 1:1-3. Christ is the image of God. So again, how do we now become fruitful? Fruitfulness means that we are now going to take that Son of God and put Him everywhere in the world. Amen. Amen. How do we do that? In the preaching of the gospel, we are fruitful. In prayer, we are fruitful. When we raise men for the Lord, we are fruitful. When we reach out to nations, when we reach out to those who are on a lost cause, and we bring them to the light of Christ, that is fruitfulness. So, is Paul fruitful? Come on, is Paul fruitful? Did he marry? Did he give birth? Oh, yeah. He didn't have any biological child, yet he said, I am your father by the gospel. 1 Corinthians 3. He called the church, he called and said, I am your father by the gospel. In Philippians, he said, Timothy has served me like a son to the father. He has served me with the gospel. Like a son to the father. So again, your fruitfulness, your parenting, primarily, is by the gospel. And that's why even if it's a female pastor, he's still a father by the gospel. Amen. Amen. Alright. So we're looking at fruitfulness. So we already know what fruitfulness is. Fruitfulness means that I will multiply the influence of the gospel in every place. Right? Come on, is that it? Fruitfulness means I will take the name of Jesus and I'll put it in every place. Is that fruitfulness? Come on, is that fruitfulness? Fruitfulness means I'll be preaching. Come on, if you're not preaching the gospel as a child of God, you know something is wrong. I'm shy. Everyone is, or was, at a point. Amen? I don't know what to say. Then follow people that know what to say. By the time you follow someone that knows what to say for a month, you will know what to say. What is not obtainable, what is not permitted, is not to talk. As long as you're here, you ought to preach. So we started looking at fruitfulness. And that led us to Isaac's story. In Genesis 26, where we are taking our teaching from, Rehoboth, broad places. He has made room for us. Amen. Broad places. Genesis 26. Don't forget where we started from. That there's something to learn. Abi? They are written for our learning. Yeah. So, we're looking at this Isaac story. And we want to take lessons from that. Are you there in Genesis 26 now? Verse 12. Then Isaac sold in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possession of herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him for all the wells which his father's servant did in the days of Abraham, his father. The Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth or with sand. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, get away from us, for you are mightier than us. Now, that means Isaac is prospering, right? Come on, Isaac is prospering. Now our stops. But before this, in verse 1, there was famine in the land. And beside the first famine, that was in the land, that was in the days of Abraham, Isaac went unto Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. Verse 2, Genesis 26. And the Lord appeared unto Isaac, and said, don't go down to Egypt. Dwell in the land that I shall tell you of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you, and unto you and to your seed, I will give unto you all these countries, and I will perform the oath that I have sworn to Abraham, your father. So the background of the story is that there was famine in the land, but God told Isaac, don't move. Don't go anywhere. And because of his obedience, Isaac now prospered in Gerar. So Rehoboth, which we'll look at later, will be the fulfillment of God's promise. But let's read on. So he prospered after he obeyed God in verse 17. When he now asked him to depart, to leave, verse 17, and Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gera and dwelt there. And Isaac digged the wells of water again, which had been digged in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which the fathers called them. And Isaac's servant digged the well in the valley and found water. And the herdsmen of Gera did strive with Isaac's men, saying, the water is our own. And he called the name of the place Esek, because they strove with him. And he digged another well, and they strove with that also. And he called the name Sitna. Can we read verse 22 together? And he moved from there, and digged another well. And they strove not for this. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Amen. For now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. So we said, the fruitfulness in Rehoboth is the fulfillment of God's promise to him. It's the fulfillment of God's promise to him. Sometimes things don't look like they are good now, but God is saying, calm down. I will make room for you. He called the place Rehoboth, for the Lord has made room for us. For the Lord has made room for us. Amen. Amen. So Rehoboth is God's promise to Isaac. Don't go to Egypt. I will take care of you. Don't go to Egypt. I will take care of you. He said, the Lord has made room for us and we will be fruitful in the land. But you know, before that Rehoboth, that third well, he already had two oppositions. Right? The first well, Esek. Now, someone said, why are they fighting over wells? In those days, the rain is not as common as you have it now. If you read the biblical history, you will see how long it takes to have rain. Now, you even have rain almost every time. Even during Ramadan, you still see rain. And you're wondering what's happening in this country. I think Lagos has lost it personally. Lagos, Port Harcourt. There's nothing like climate. Just vibes. And whatever we get. There's no rainy season again. Amen. You just expect rain. Once the clouds shall form, go and close your windows. Amen. You know, but in those days, it rained because, you know, from the story of Noah, there was nothing like rain before. And then rain was scarce. So water is scarce. And that's why when David, you remember when David had to fight and said, I need water. They had to actually go back to the well of the Philistines to go and get water for David. The Philistines are the present day Palestinians. Palestine actually means the land of the Philistines. So in case you want to see Goliath, then travel there. Amen. You know, so water is not as common. So what they do is that they dig wells, right? They dig wells so that they can have water. And Isaac's servants, they dug the first one. And people came. Say, it's our own. You know, at that point, Isaac is wondering, is God's promise true at all? Is God's word true at all? If he said he would take care of me and I should not go to Egypt, why am I having opposition? Why are people fighting for the well I dug? Then he says, maybe that's just that one. Then the second well, Sitna. He dug it again. He came. They strove with him. I mean, God is whining me. Something like that. How many times have you, God has given a word and then some things happen and you're saying, ha. I remember many years ago, you know, someone came to me and she gave a word of wisdom. That was about 2009, 8, about 14 years ago. You know, and eight or nine. You know, I remember I had an issue. I wrote jam. And something happened. I had a very high score. Was it 270 something? And the school I picked, somehow I missed the cutoff by points. I was 8 or 9, I can't remember. I missed cutoff by point, and the woman came to me and said, "Don't worry, God has a plan." As at that moment, everything she's saying, I don't understand. I don't care about what God is saying about that day. You know when, because I was teaching, I was writing Japan, I was also teaching in a tutorial, around the Susan. I was teaching in a tutorial. Imagine you are teaching people, and they are getting their desired courses, and you, the teacher, you are just missing cutoffs by 1 point every time. And so, she said, and that was Mommy Guntipe, and she said, "Don't worry, God will grant you speed." You know the way you can listen? What is this say? I said, "Yeah, thank you, man. Good. Thank you." So that day, I was going to have a prayer meeting. The prayer meeting call. Prayer meeting. When God is ready for me, I'll be ready for him. You know, you can be young and stupid. And then when God is ready for me, if you tell me, I'll be ready for him too. Because this way we are doing it. So it can't be biased. Someone cannot be doing something and another person not fulfilling his own path. It's God I'm talking to. You know, but looking back now, if someone does not get admission, I'll just tell you, calm down. Where are you running to? Amen. I know, many people have rushed into some horrible schools. You will not get any guns and say, "How did I get to this school? How did I get to this course?" No apologies if I mistakenly touch your course or study. Once your course of study, you enter that course and they say, the introductory lecturer is telling you, don't let anybody intimidate you. As you are entering, the first lecturer is saying, don't let anybody intimidate you in this campus. Your course is so versatile. Oh, I don't study anything. You can work anywhere. You need to ask yourself, who can work anywhere? Except cleaner. You can work anywhere. See, our daddy, they work in bank, they work in hospital. Just know that something is wrong. When you're not an accountant, how can you work anywhere? So what is that telling you that your course? Red flag. Amen? I've given you confirmed this. So, you know, I look back now and I say, thank God. Thank God. Thank God for those years. So sometimes it looks like God's word is not coming to pass. But you have not dug the third well. Dig the third well. Amen. There's a railroad ahead. There is a railroad ahead. A well nobody will fight for. Where the Lord has made room for you. Are you listening to me? There is a railroad ahead. Where the Lord has made room for you. Same thing in the work of ministry. In the work of ministry. There is no fruitful church. There is no fruitful cell. There is no fruitful fellowship. There is no fruitful work you are starting that does not have its tests and trials. Tests and trials, opposition is part of fruitfulness. I'll say it again. Tests and trials is part of fruitfulness. We are in a generation where people don't want to be tested. People don't want to go through anything. Can things just come easy? How many of you can submit yourself to a doctor who has not been tested? Eh? Who has not been adequately tested? I remember when I was doing my house job, there was this patient that I used to see in the clinic when I was a student. And when I was a student, and the clinicians, when I was a student, the clinicians would tell us, go and collect this patient. Go and attend to this patient. And the patient would say, "No, students must not touch me. Students must not touch me. I don't want students to touch me." I mean, you encounter that a lot on the ward. Hey, student, when they see you on short coats, "Students must not touch me. Students must not touch me." I believe, eh? And when I started doing my house job, and I saw the same patient, and I asked students around, I now went to meet her. I said, how are you doing? So person will just take some things down from you. She said, "Student must not touch me. It's you I want." Now, she cannot recognize me, but I know her very well. You know your troublesome patient, outpatient clinics. You know them very well. So, I said, "Reason. This woman is saying the same thing." I don't want to. It's you. If you cannot take, I will wait. No. She wants someone who has been tested. If a student took you anyhow. If a student took you anyhow. Nothing is going to happen to that student. Nothing. The person they will hold. Who was supervising you? Who did you say was supervising you again? Doctor says, okay. Call him. You can go. Call him. The student is not going to go through anything. Max, emotional trauma. His studies will continue. But you see you. So, the patient understood that. I said, I want you. Nobody wants someone who is not tested. So, tests and trials are on the road to real growth. As you start up a work, as you look at God for 2022 in your cell or in your fellowships, there will be tests. There will be sitna. There will be ESSEC. There are trials on the way. How many of you want to hire a driver? Is it? So, Mr. Damola, how many years have you been driving? Say, sir. How many years have you been driving? I started on Monday, sir. You mean you started working somewhere on Monday? No. I started driving on Monday. So, okay. Say, but trust me, sir. I don't take risk. Naturally, I'm not a risk taker. I'm a patient person. I don't care about your patience. Amen? I don't care about your patience. Your patience will get me killed. I want someone who has been tested. Something who has been tested. And so, Isaac encountered two wells who did not prove to be fruitful wells or fruitful grounds until Rehoboth. There are tests and trials in ministry. There's no Rehoboth without tests. Every good thing that you have seen in this world, they are tested. They are part of fruitfulness. So in Isaac's story, we see that those tests are not negatives. They are showing you towards God's plan and purpose. They are showing you towards Rehoboth. You have to be tested. Leadership in the local church is tested. It's based on tests. And trials. Sometimes temptations. It's God that cannot be tempted with the attempts, no man. Sometimes temptations will be thrown. Let me see how you react to this. That's a test. Teachers give tests. Because you cannot allow someone who has not been tested to lead people. You have to have been tested. Every stage of your life, eyes are on you. You have been watched. You have to have been tested. I don't like this, your church. I don't know. I don't know. How many years ago did you take me to pastor? Why do you want to be pastor? I don't want to be a pastor. It's a good thing. I'll be 1 Timothy 3:1. If any man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. Amen. But a bishop must be tested. Amen. Amen. For example, you know our culture here. Before you can take up any leadership position. There are certain places we must see you. Not here. Not in this hall. Amen. Not in this hall. There are certain places that our eyes must jam. 3 times. We must jam in those places. When we see you 1st time, say. 2nd time. Those are places of test. Places of hunger. Places of fatigue. How many were you not tired during the retreat? You are not tired. Please come and pastor. Because I was tired. Amen. I was tired. I lost my voice. I lost everything. I was literally tired. That's test. So when God sends you somewhere to someone, you're going to preach to someone. He has told you about someone. Then you go and disciple this person. And then the person are telling you, get out. I don't want to see you. What's happening? That one is better. The person that tells you outrightly, get out. You know how to deal with it. But the one that tells you, I'm not at home. See, I'm seeing you like this in front of your house. I'm not at home. I say I'm not at home. How are you not at home? I told the person I went to preach to one time, some years ago. He's under the bed. He was under the bed like this. I can see that the bed, things are moving. Pots are shaking. You know this house is where? Pots are shaking. I said to the sister, where is the so-so? He's not at home. Neither, neither is under the bed. I said, I wait for him. He said, ah, where he went is far. It will take long. I said, I have dedicated my entire day to him. I will wait here. As he heard that one, he just crawled out from the bed. What do you want? I see where you travel to. Amen. You know, sometimes you just don't get the result you think you're meant to be getting. In your head, you're thinking, by now, I should have 5 disciples who are constant with the way I'm preaching and discipling every day, with the way I'm praying for them. I should have 5 people that come into church and devoted to Jesus. I should have 10, I should have 20, I should have this, I should have that. But do not stop at Essex. Don't stop at the first well. Don't stop at the second well. Until you get to Rehoboth, where there is fruitfulness, do not stop. Is that clear? Come on, is that clear? Look at Joseph. God is going to rescue the entire nation of Israel through Joseph. What do you think should have happened to him? He should have been preserved from the beginning, Abby. He should be kept in the museum. This is the person that God will use. Keep him in the museum. When the appointed time is come, let him come out. Let him take charge. He first had a dream. Excited stage. Had a dream. He told his brothers, ah, I see the sun, I see the moon, I see 11 stars. They were all bowing to me. They said, you? Or Reuben? They said, no, me. They said, okay. 11 stars, Abby.
11.
Okay. Oh, it's true, they are bowing. It's good. 7 times. Said, this time around, I see the moon. They won't see you, Joseph. They won't see you, Joseph. So they called me. Yeah, this boy, the way star they bow to. At least you'll be happy that they were stars. Amen. If there's anything, he called you guys stars. And for let me that one. He said, this boy, the way star they bow to. Let's help him. Let's help the bow faster. So they sold him. Because if you are going to lead Israel, you have to be tested. Everyone God uses, they've gone through one stage where things did not appear as fruitful as you have thought. Are you listening? Even in the natural, in your work, your career, your education, there will be tests. There will be times that things are not as rosy as you thought they would be. Things are not as smooth as you thought they would be. But that's not the time to give up. The prophet said, if you give up in the day of adversity, your strength is little. Your strength is little. And Joseph was sold. Then he met himself in Potiphar's house. He said, glory! The word is working. Fruitfulness has come. But that's not the way the fruitfulness is. And the poor Potiphar's wife. Because for every man God will use, listen very well, the devil will come for you. Let me say it again. For every well Isaac will dig, the Philistines will come. I say it this way, that for every message you listen to, right? The devil will come to test that. I have seen it happen over and over again. If you listen to How to Walk in Love today, watch in the coming 2 weeks, there will be an opportunity to express the love walk. Because what Jesus thought is that when the seed is sown, he said, the evil one will come. Why men slept? Immediately John said, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. The next chapter, the Bible says, Jesus was tempted of the devil. It's as simple as that. So Joseph, because he's going to be leader of Egypt, Potiphar's wife came for the test. One of the ultimate tests. Said, let me be sugar mommy. Let me do sugar mommy to you. Joseph said, no! The God of Israel forbids! Only God will I serve! She said, So she did mental health. Took videos. Took snaps. Made tweets. Have been abused by his servant. He calls himself the servant of God. I no longer call you Pastor Joseph. Your name is Joseph. Don't tell me you are a pastor. Put it on Twitter. Put it on Instagram. Put it on Facebook. And everybody saying, all this is your life. They are even saying God is using them. Blackmail Joseph. For you to know that the blackmail was real. And everybody thought Joseph did it. He was in prison. Amen. See what he has done to me. See my life. He tore my clothes. Not everything you see online is true. Amen. So Joseph landed himself in prison. In his mind, what do you think was going on? God, if you said the moon and the stars would bow to me, why am I here? If you said, if we ask for the nations, you give it to us, then why are we here? If you said the word of God is spreading, is growing in leaps and bounds, then why am I seeing this? Why am I not seeing disciples? Why am I not hearing people saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus? Why our cell meetings? We are still seven. Why in our cell meeting we are still seven? We are still ten. If you said the word of God is growing, you keep pushing till you find real boats. Is that clear? You keep pushing. You don't stop. You don't stop because of opposition. Isaac dug the well. The first well, there was contention. There was opposition. You can't afford to stop there because there's a real boat ahead. Don't fail the test of the primary test. The test of new converts. The test of when you have two members. You're looking at church now. There was a time where church, where we were using, is not 1/3 of this stage. 1/3. About 1/4. We can play the stage to 4. And we still have more length. Amen. That was what we were using. And we had Holy Ghost meetings. Amen. We were rejoicing. We were teaching God, so we were recording. Why are you recording messages? Yes. Some of the teachings you are here, you're listening to today, they were taught in the strangest of places. In the strangest of conditions. There were mornings that Boshola would pull off suits because Jen was not starting. Some of you don't even know that. Very few of you will probably were there. Sunday morning, 8:30, we are still dealing with Tiger Jen. The repairer became my friend. Like my best friend. Like, because you come every Sunday. What's the point? Like, already a member. And I'm talking in the natural. Were there times where things, different things were happening? People were calling us different names. Yes. Are we there yet? No. Oh, the Lord has made room for us. We are spreading. The Lord has made room for us. So you can't afford to stop. Pastor, I've been preaching. Pastor, I've been teaching. It's not working. No! Never say it's not working. The Word of God is working. He's working. He's working. He's working. God's word is 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 working. Never say it's not working. Isaac could have stopped that essay, the first well, and said, this is it for me. This is it for me. God, no, God has had it all. I've given God many chances. No. Till you find real growth. Where we are fruitful, where we can take the seed of God's word to the nations of the earth. Till that time, there's no stopping us. There's no stopping us. Amen. So don't use gimmicks. There's real growth ahead. There's real growth ahead. Don't use logic to do ministry. Let me say this. Don't start a cell and start doing welfare. Now welfare is good in church. When you take care of people, because church is family, amen? Church is home. We ought to take care of one another. We do that. But you can't do welfare so that people can be coming to church. That is not God's plan. God's plan is that we are fellowshipping with one another on account of the gospel. If you come to church because they gave you money, when you see more money, you will leave. Right? Like some of my roommates when I was in university, you saw one that when he came to my workplace. This Sunday, they will go to one church on the island. They did not give us rice and, you know. They will now come and meet each other. They will scatter each other to different churches. After, they will now converge. What they give you. You know, their biggest one. Everybody will now go there next Sunday. They want to give us wine. You know, when they now see a bigger one that gives them something else, they will go there. Don't use that to start a walk. There is real growth. The well that God himself has prepared for you. Where there is no striving. Where there is ease. Where there is fruitfulness. There's a real growth for me. In the name of Jesus. The Lord has made room for me. I'm coming into my broad places. Open spaces for me. In the name of Jesus. Don't use gimmicks. Don't use music to pull people to church. I've always said it in this place. It will never happen. Don't use gimmicks. Don't use music. Wave your flags. Come on. Jesus. Go Jesus. Go. What's that one? Nonsense. Now invite one guest minister. You don't have money. All the money I went to be used to do flash drive for missionaries for JT Media. All the money I went to use to translate messages to French, like we plan to do. All the money that we went to use for camp meetings. Messages we now use to pay one. Now I have no issues with musicians who ministers in church. I don't have an issue. All I know is that I can sing. No matter how my voice is, manage it. Prophet can sing well, so Prophet will sing for you. You don't like general song? We have psalms. Amen. But that I will go and pay. Let me mention name. Let me mention names. It's not proper. But I will go and bring someone. Say guest minister. It will not happen. In case you are in this, you are expecting one day to come. You will see Sinach, or you see Frank Edwards, or you see, you cannot ever see Tim Godfrey yet. I mentioned that one. Give me another one. Yeah, you see, what's the name of that, my friend? The Bible says, you see all of those, you can't. Why? Because I can sing too. And what the Bible teaches is that we all sing together. Amen? Am I saying the churches who do it are bad? No. Everybody has their own priorities. Amen? Everybody has their own way of what Christ has called them to do. I know what he has called me to do. Whatever they have heard, I don't know. But you can't use music to lure people to church. That's not real good. That's not the Lord making room for you. Let me say this. When it's the Lord's harvest, you see passionate people. You see powerful people. Bible says, in the days of his power, the people shall be full of his passion. In the days of his power. So in the Lord's Rehoboth, we don't lure people with gimmicks. If we do this, then the church will be full. God forbid it here. We only trust in what the Lord is doing. We'll keep preaching. We'll keep teaching. I'll be it colorless. I'll be it pale. I'll be it boring. We'll keep teaching. We'll keep praying. Who never stop the attitude of praying, of long hours prayers. It will not stop. Regardless. Because the Lord will make room for us. As you teach it, don't now start doing your discipleship. That's it. If the room is not coming. You say, if opportunity does not come, build the door. Mental health. If opportunity does not come, build it. You know, okay. Since disciples are not that yielding, what I will do is that I will organize funfair, lottery, scholarship lottery. You pick number. So people will, and now you have the opportunity to now spread God's word. You are not spreading God's word. Amen? Eventually you realize that it doesn't work. There's nobody you bring to that method that is genuinely your disciple. Nobody. Amen? Don't start submitting yourself to logic. We will be fruitful in the land. We will be fruitful in the land. Amen? So Isaac said, he called the name of the third well Rehoboth. He said, because the Lord has made room for us. Because the Lord has made room for us. Because the harvest is plenty. Because now we see disciples. The Lord has made room for us. In the coming days, in the coming months, we will see a multiplicity of harvest. In the name of Jesus. Hearing ears, seeing eyes. Men are yielding. The power of God is at work in and towards us. Every man yielding to the name of Jesus. That's what we see. That's what we see. We'll keep preaching. We'll keep teaching. We'll keep laying hands on the sick. No logic. No gimmicks. No necessary jamboree. Amen. Just the power of God as of old. And we'll trust the Lord. That he will bring us to broad places. He will bring us to open places. Where his name is heard. Where his voice is heard. Where he is seen. Where he is glorified alone. Till then, you don't stop digging the wells. You don't stop digging the wells. You have a disciple who is not listening. You have someone you preach to. And he said, come to church. And you know, it's just being, it could even be your friend. It's just being unnecessarily adamant. You know what to do? Keep digging the wells. Keep teaching. Keep praying. Don't stop. Don't give up. How is girls on? There's one I was telling. She's in ministry in Ibadan. I told her, I said, there's not even a towel to throw in. No, they don't throw in the towel. There's no towel to throw in. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. Don't go to Egypt. Trust that the Lord will make room for you. Don't go to Egypt. Trust that the Lord will make room for you. Always trust in God. We are in a world where, because of the advancement of technology, you think that things can be fixed now and now. You know, if I do one or two thinkings together and I put them together, things will be fixed. How many of you know that what I'm saying? One or two. You see people, you want to start a church and the first thing you're looking for is a fine venue. Say, because people don't like inconvenience. I'm talking to people and you're starting a work. Starting a cell, you're starting a fellowship. That's not, the first thing to look for is not venue. Or you are printing flyer. Flyer. Oh. Or you are going to buy a suit. Buy a suit to share. Suit is not equal to real book. Amen. The first thing to do is to dig the well. Pray. Pray. Preach. Start anywhere. Follow God and damn the consequences. Follow God and don't give the oath about the consequences. He will make a room for you. You believe that? He will make a room for you. He will bring you to broad places. Isaac said, now is real. We shall be fruitful in the land. He said, fruitfulness means you are going to take the seed, the Son of God, right? Right? And you are going to put him everywhere. Have you? So that's fruitfulness. Fruitfulness means I will be preaching the gospel. If you're on campus, don't give excuses. Don't give excuses. All my days on campus, I was preaching. Room to room, classrooms, but waiting for a lecturer, I would just find someone around. You know, you know those days. I'm not saying those days because I don't do the guys who do it. All of my daddy does this. Lecturer is delayed. I just look at the class. This one looks like you're fishing. And I just go and say, let me just talk to you now. And because I'm a cool person, people listen. And I start teaching. You can't afford to be a Christian. You know, I'm a Christian. I know the gospel. I preach the gospel. But I'm conservative about it. It's nothing like that. You are either working for God, for God's kingdom, or you are working against it. And let me let you know that if you are not preaching the gospel, you are working against it. Either is not for us, is against us. The only way you will know that you are supporting the cause of Christ, that you are on God's side, is that you are fruitful. Fruitful in character, in good character. Fruitful with the gift of the Holy Ghost. Fruitful with the fruit of the Spirit. Fruitful with disciples. Men! That is the fruitfulness of Genesis. Be fruitful and multiply. That is Matthew 28 and 19. Going therefore and preach the gospel to every nation. That is Mark 16, 15. Go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Whosoever believes and is baptized is saved. Whosoever believes not is damned. We have a mandate to preach. And God's role is that He will bring us to open places. God's role is that He will make room for us. In the nations, in the north, in the east, in the south, in the west, there's a room for me. Everywhere, there's room for Jesus. Everywhere the word of God is spreading. To the east, to the north, to the south, to the west. God's word is spreading. We are in broad places in the name of Jesus. I'm fruitful. I'm not barren. I'm fruitful. You know, when you're counting people who are working towards the advancement of the kingdom of God, you should be part of it. Don't be like I'm Christian. You go on outreach. There are even the ones that are opposing preaching. Christian? I was telling you that I saw that a lot in campuses. You go to someone's room to preach to God. And guess who is opposing you? Another Christian. Are you now saying, shut up. This is a Muslim name for preach. Argument has never won a soul. And what do you think? Amen. But God is opening spaces for us. Amen. Where we thought there was no way. Where we thought this is a closed door. in the name of Jesus. Let don se kahida bora tesa. Et don shapta gida stamma pora diasa. There's room for us in the name of Jesus. There's real growth for us. There's real growth for us. Everywhere we are teaching and preaching, Suru Leria and his environment, there's real growth for us. So we are fruitful. We are fruitful. We are fruitful. We are fruitful with the instruction he has given us. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel. Don't say I don't know how to start. I'm challenging you today. Don't say I don't know what to preach. Don't say I want to just, there's nothing like I'm just learning God's word. There's nothing like that. The God's word in your head does not save anybody. God's word in your head does not change any life. It's the one on your mouth, on your lips. It's the one you say. It's the one you preach. Be a man. Be a brother. Be a boy. Be a girl. Be a lady. Be a woman Jesus can trust. All this big boy reason. And emojiism. You know emojiism? You know emojiism? Emoji. Man of God. Emojiism. You carry Bible. You know doctrine. Well, you are barren. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Glory, glory. Yeah. You know, over the few years I've been preaching. What's that? Drop your big suit and eat the streets. The harvest is plenty. The harvest is plenty. In the name of Jesus. You know what we are going to do by the power of the Holy Ghost? We are actually going to snatch men from the hand of the devil. The people that the devil thought this one is a close case, we are going to snatch them out. We are going to see people who are criminals. People who have devoted their entire lives to darkness. To following after fleshly lusts. And we are going to turn them from darkness to light. Because the Lord has made room for us. And guess what? None that the Lord has given us will be lost. Not one. He will make room for us. We are by the well already. There is room for us. We are now in our broad places. And fruitfulness abounds. So you preach. You don't stop teaching. You don't stop equipping yourself for the world. Everywhere you find yourself, you are a missionary. You are a walking missionary. You are a mobile missionary. Let Jesus' name be heard wherever you are. Don't be a Christian the devil is proud of. Don't be a Christian that when you are where there is darkness, you have no impact. Just go. You blend in. You see that knows this. You blend in. You don't want people to see you as spiritual. I want them to be, There's nothing like that. There's nothing like that. Say we'll be fruitful in the land. You don't become fruitful by blending in. You become fruitful by standing your ground for Christ. Church is where we ought to hear this. Not where we go, we dance and sweat and sweat and sweat. And we all go home deceiving ourselves. Without fulfilling just one syllable of the commandment of God. What is the commandment? Go into the world and preach the gospel. Raise men. Fellowship with one another. Rehoboth is the place of growth. Where fruitfulness abounds. Where we are growing. So ask yourself, am I doing anything to ensure that the church of God is growing? Am I instrumental to the growth of the church? Am I in Rehoboth at all? Are you listening to me? When the church is growing, you should be, your cell leader should be able to say, brother so-and-so has been preaching the gospel. It is very instrumental to what we have now. Or you are just a Christian of Instagram. Wake up in the morning, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Like post, share post. All that, again. You gotta eat. After eating, you watch movie, back to social media. What kind of Christian are you? This is Jesus calling your name. It's a fruitful year. It's a fruitful year. Come on. Lift your hands and say, it's a fruitful year. I'm fruitful. I'm not barren. God's word is working in my life. God's word is working through my life. Amen. It's real growth. Amen. It's real growth. It's real growth. Where God is seen and heard. It's real growth. Where his promise is fulfilled. It's real growth. Where growth abounds. It's real growth. His word for us is that we are fruitful. Is that we are fruitful. The truth is, there are people out there that need to hear Jesus. There are people out there that just needs one man to tell them about Jesus.
And sometimes you are the one God has placed in those areas. I will tell people, when you go for NYSC, don't come back home with pictures. You can't go for 1 year and the only thing you brought back are pictures on camel. See your life. I rode camel. It's like a right dinosaur. How many lives were changed? Wherever you find yourself, you must be an ambassador for Christ. Don't be a Christian that doesn't have any impact.
We are in Radio Boat. Amen. We are in Radio Boat. Amen.
We are fruitful. Come on, we are fruitful. So we ought to bear fruit. Colossians chapter 1. Don't forget we said, for every real boast, then there are tests. Abi? Tests. Tests of when all you had was two members. Two members. One is your brother. One is your brother. Or two and a half. Yeah, you can have 2.5 members. One is your member. One is your brother. One is your friend. He just believes in you. The half is one that comes to church on Thursday, does not come on Sunday. And you and that Sunday does not come on Thursday. Like shift. Say, are you on duty today? In those times, you don't give up. You don't. The times that all you have is just one person that is listening to God's word through you. One disciple. Don't, that's not the time to be discouraged. That's not the time to say, this is not for me. No. Joseph did not say that's not for him. Regardless of the trials, regardless of the tests, Jesus is glorified. Regardless, Jesus is glorified. And his promise will stand. The Lord has made room for us. We will be fruitful in the land. The Lord has made room for us. In Colossians 1. Verse 9 and 10, I'll read. Just look at your Bibles. For this cause, since the day we heard it, we do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. What a prayer. He says that you are fruitful in every good work. That you are fruitful in the preaching of God's word. That you are fruitful in prayer. That you are fruitful in raising men. That you are fruitful in your service in the church. Paul says, I'm praying for you. That you are fruitful. They are fruitful in every good work. David explained the same thing in Psalm 1. Psalms 1, verse 1. I love the way he opens up. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You know what the counsel of the ungodly is? I've told you before. I think last year when I told you, not every good counsel is a godly counsel. And listen to me very well. Not every good counsel is godly. Peter told Jesus, Jesus said, so shall it be, the Son of Man is going to die, be given to his enemies, on the third day will arise. Peter said, don't speak about death. The Lord, shut up. Jesus, it's faithlessness. And you are the one that was saying we have mustard faith, we have small faith. That's faithlessness. You will not die. You will not die in your name. Jesus says, that's not a godly advice. I rebuke you, Satan. Is the advice good? But you should not die. Yes, now, come on. Who wants to die? When David went to the war front to face Goliath, you know what Eliab said? His brother? He said, what have you come to do here? You are naughty. Go back home. It's not for kids. You know, that's a good advice. And where you have such giants, five of them, you should not have someone like David's age. He's a teenager. He should not be there. Not talk of say he wants to carry stone. A good advice actually is that don't carry stone and go and face Goliath. At least take sword. That's a good advice. But it's not godly. David said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason why God has sent me here? Ask yourself, is there not a reason why I'm in glorious house church today? Is there no reason why I'm here? God wants to use me. God wants to speak through me. Not every good advice is a godly one. I remember someone told me before. He said, you pastoring. How will you be pastoring? Why are you wasting your life? I know you now. I know what you can do. I know the things that I know what you're capable of. I know your dreams and aspirations. I said, if you want to still be talking to me and you still want to have my number, don't say this again. He knows my serious face, so he just said, okay. let us just be talking like this. If you still want to have my number, in his mind is giving me a good counsel. He's giving me a very good counsel. But it's not godly. Blessed is the man, Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in doing what God has said. And in the law, in God's law, he meditates day and night. Can we read verse 3 together? He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that brings forth its fruit in its season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever it does. That's me, amen. That's me, amen. That's me. I'm fruitful. My leaves are evergreen. My leaves are evergreen. My leaves are evergreen. I'm fruitful. God's word is fruitful in me. I'm fruitful in his work. My leaves are evergreen. I don't drop a leaf. I don't drop a leaf. It's my season every time. And all my works are prospering. Nothing dies in my hands. I'm fruitful. It's my real booth. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers. He says his leaf will not wither. I'm evergreen. Through me, God's word is growing in leaps and bounds. Temptations don't hold me back. Tests and trials don't deter me. Tests and trials don't stop me. Situations of life don't pull me down. I know how to forge ahead. In the spirit and by his spirit, I am strengthened. The Lord has brought me to open spaces. Even in places where we thought that this is a lost battle, we will discover that the Lord has made room for us. Everywhere, in every place, there are men and hearts yielding, waiting to hear the voice of Jesus. Waiting to hear the voice of Jesus. When I talk to men, they will say they have heard Jesus, because he has made room for me. When I speak to people, they will say they heard Jesus today. My hands are the hands of Jesus. My eyes are his eyes. My ears are his ears. I will walk tall, strong, fulfilling his word. The devil will not have the best of me. My best of years is for Jesus. Him alone will I serve. I don't have multiple allegiances. No. Jesus is the Lord of my life. I don't care how much it will take, how long it will take. I'll follow him. Where he says I should go, that's where I'll go. And I'm fruitful. I'm fruitful. I'll let his seed bring forth much fruit. The Lord has made room for me. And I'll be fruitful in the land. When men are counting disciples, I don't count excuses. When men are counting what they have done for Jesus, I don't start saying I was busy in those years. Don't be found missing. Pray for yourself. This one. Pray for yourself.